Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Tell us more then about T. Townsend Brown.
Well, his is a complicated story.
It's a very complicated story. It's just, you know, to ask me to simply tell you more, it's like, where do you want me to start?
Well, let's pick up where we left off.
You got help. You got help from his daughter.
Yes.
Before his daughter came into play, it was almost impossible to find good, verifiable information about it.
Yes. When you read about Townsend Brown at the cursory level, there's more, again, as with Farnsworth, there's more about him now because he's begun to come to people's attention. But when I first looked into it, all I found was one website that mentioned Einstein and a man named Kitzelman, and I forget who else. And then it said something about his theories have been associated with flying saucers. And I kind of recoiled from that because that has never been an area that I felt driven toward or motivated to explore. I don't doubt that there are anomalous things in our sky. I don't discount that they could be extraterrestrial or black technologies that we've developed off the books on Earth. But it was just never a rabbit hole that I felt like going into, but I got sucked into it. And yes, if we are talking about interstellar navigation, we are talking about some realm of physics entirely different from what we're using to get what we used to get to the moon, for example, in 1969. I'll just a sidebar here. I've been following in the last several months a mathematician, economist, and scientist named Eric Weinstein, who has spoken to these subjects some. And when he talks about interstellar travel, he states clearly, you know, I don't care about the engineering. I know about the physics. Because if we're traveling at that level, it's an entirely different physics paradigm than the Newtonian mechanics that we're using to orbit the Earth. Sidebar. And sidebar. Yes, there was very little on Townsend Brown, and I began corresponding through this website. I was introduced to his daughter, Linda, who was born in 1945. I was born in 1950, so we're essentially contemporaries, and we formed a correspondent friendship, first by snail mail and eventually through email. And I was, by virtue of having published the Farnsworth document biography, I had just that much credibility. She read that book. She liked it enough that she was willing to entrust me with, it's funny to say, she was willing to entrust me with the family secrets because they were secrets even to her. She didn't have much to entrust. When we finally met in April 2003 at a hotel room in Las Vegas, all she had of the family archives were two Rubbermaid tubs that had some files, some photographs, some notebooks, and a few artifacts. Not much else. And indeed, when you talk about Townsend Brown, it's like you're trying to peel back a curtain. And the hard thing is, even when you get the curtain peeled back, what's behind it is still black. And so we're into a realm of some speculation. Now, when I spoke about Farnsworth and his fusion work, I know for a fact that he did a lot of work on fusion. There are still people experimenting, and there's lots of things to discuss there. Whether or not Brown actually found a way to produce and synthetic fields remains a subject of speculation, and there is at the moment a $50,000 bounty for somebody who can either prove or disprove that a recreation of Townsend Brown technology will produce some kind of gravitational effect. So maybe we'll know more in 6 to 12 months. But his life disappears behind a curtain, and I summarize it this way. I spent about 6 years researching. I went to the National Archives, I went to his schools in Ohio, I went all over the place. I spent about 6 years trying to compile a first draft of the life of Townsend Brown. And what I discovered over time was that Townsend Brown spent about half of his life engaged in classified military research. And the other half of his life was engaged in covert intelligence operations, much of it to cover up the classified military research. The net effect, I felt, was I was writing the biography of a man whose story could not be told. And I actually reached a point of futility with it in 2009 and walked away from it for what turned out to be 13 years.
Parenthetically, I know there was a perception... I know there was a perception back in the 60s, because of, obviously, the NICAP connection, which we'll get into later, that Townsend Brown was some kind of wacko who had an invention that could never work. Let's understand more.
The beginnings of the questionable reputation surrounding Townsend Brown was conveyed to me through a covert source that I codenamed throughout the book, The Man Who Mastered Gravity. I gave this individual the codename Morgan. Now, when I met Linda in 2003, she didn't really have much. And I've likened the process of trying to find out more or write a book about Townsend Brown. At that point, it was like spilling all the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle out on a table and then going to the box top to see what the jigsaw puzzle was supposed to look like when it was finished. But, oh, there's no picture on the cover of the box. So we were just groping in the dark for about a year when somebody who had been an intimate friend of Linda's during her time in high school in the 1960s and then became a colleague of Townsend Brown later in the same decade and went on to be part of an intelligence network that we believe Brown was part of, he surfaced and began sharing inside information with us. And like I say, I codenamed him Morgan. And this, one of the stories that Morgan told me was that Brown demonstrated something to the Navy at Pearl Harbor in 1950. And it was two things. It was not only a propulsion device, which the FBI in a file described as a toy-like carnival ride, it was also a communications device. And understanding the communications device might be more important than understanding the potential gravitational or artificial gravity or propulsion effect. But the way the story was told to me, and I have to be frank, that I am relaying unverifiable anecdotes here, but I was able to add them up into a narrative, and so this is a story, and I'm sticking to it. The demonstration for the Navy at Pearl Harbor in 1950 was somehow compromised. There was an intelligence agency, or intelligence agent, an espionage agent, working for the network associated with the master spy, Kim Philby, who was working on behalf of MI6 for, working within MI6 for the KGB, and the connections here are a little difficult to draw, but there was some connection to foreign intelligence that compromised this demonstration. And once the demonstration was compromised, Brown went on a campaign to discredit it himself, to say that there was no there. And the way he did that was by going around the country demonstrating a version of the Brown effect. I skipped over the name that was given to this effect, this artificial gravitational effect, is the Biefeld-Brown effect. He demonstrated the Biefeld-Brown effect in a way that could easily be dismissed as ion wind. But that and his association with flying saucer investigations in the mid-1950s with the formulation of an organization called NICAP, or the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, those were elements that Brown wrapped himself in so that people would not take a serious look at what he had actually been working on up to that point.
We've got more with Paul, Gene, Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD, powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, you mentioned this demonstration was compromised. Mm-hmm. Because someone connected, what, Russian spies or something like that?
Yeah.
How so? What were they trying to accomplish, and how was it compromised?
So the mystery to me here is that once the cat is out of the bag, I don't quite see how you get it back in. So there's a discussion to be had about who he was trying to dissuade or mislead. But the way I understand what was demonstrated versus what was used to discredit the demonstration is the difference between two kinds of dielectric. Dielectric is the material in the middle of a capacitor. And what Townsend Brown observed when he saw that Coolidge tube was, in effect, an electrical component called a capacitor, where you have two electrodes, one negatively charged and one positively charged, and a substance between them, which causes the charge to build up between the plates. So that's a capacitor. And what Brown observed, simply stated, is that there was a tendency in a capacitor structure for the negative plate to move toward the positive plate, but the positive plate to move away, so that the negative plate is effectively chasing the positive plate. That's the origins of what we're calling the Biefeld-Brown effect. Now, there are two kinds of substance that you can put between the electrodes, which is called dielectric. There are all over the internet demonstrations of devices called lifters, which are triangular kite-like devices with a layer, a base of tinfoil, some balsa wood posts, and a lace of wire connecting the tops of the balsa wood posts. And when you charge those with a high voltage, what happens is ions are generated by the wire, and that causes the thing to lift. It just pops right off the surface. That's what we call ionic wind. And ionic wind is what's produced in a fluid dielectric, air being the fluid in this case. And we've talked a little bit about the ionic breeze air purifier. The ionic breeze air purifier was the Biefeld-Brown effect put to work in an air purifying device that use the air as a fluid dielectric. Now, Brown did some other work in the Navy using fluids, actual fluids like water and oil, as dielectrics. But the difference, the magic that we're speculating about here, is that there's other magic that starts to happen when the dielectric is solid, not fluid. And usually when I'm doing these things on video, I show people these two discs that I have of a substance called barium titanate, which is a ceramic-like substance, and you can hear them clicking together here, which has what's called a very high K. K is how you measure the dielectric factor. These have a very high K. They store a very high charge. And the contention here is that that's what Brown demonstrated was with the solid dielectric, but when that demonstration was compromised, when maybe we could look at it this way, and I'm speculating here because I'm just making this up on the spot. Maybe whoever witnessed this demonstration on behalf of diabolical external forces, they got wind that something was demonstrated, but they didn't actually see what was demonstrated. So they didn't know that there was a solid or a fluid dielectric. So dismissing the concept of the solid dielectric, we go out and we start showing everybody this thing with the fluid dielectric, and he did that. There's accounts in the book about when he demonstrated it for people in Los Angeles, and they all just said, oh, it's just ionic wind. It's just ionic wind. Well, great. So nothing to see there, because the thing to see there is what you build around a solid dielectric. And that hasn't been done, to my knowledge.
Well, and that myth about T. Townsend Brown is still prevalent today, that the only thing that he did was create devices that produced the electric wind. That's right.
Right, right.
But he actually had an idea of what was happening that was completely outside of Newtonian physics.
Yes, it would have been very much relativistic physics.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where, so the trouble with the Townsend-Brown story is we are dealing with the very edges of that 1905 cosmology. When Farnsworth makes the leap from developing electronic television and the things that he learned there to building a controlled nuclear, I would say that we are well within the constraints of the well understood aspects of the Einstein 1905 cosmology. So when we talk about fusing atoms, well, the stars do that all day, every day. What's his name? Edward Teller did it in a hydrogen bomb. Yippee! Farnsworth was trying to do it in a controlled manner so that we could get the energy drawn off in a controlled manner, in the same way a fission reactor, nuclear reactor, draws the power off all over time rather than blowing it all up at once. So that's all within the understood constraints or confines of 1905 cosmology. Once you start talking about gravity, things get really weird.
I like the way you say that. Things get pretty weird. How
well,
so?
Do you want to? You know, I'm hesitating because this sounds like something that we should go into after another break. Matt, how far do you want me to go?
Well, why don't you start for a couple of minutes and then we'll continue in the next segment.
Okay. So we'll go back to Einstein's second great contribution in 1915, which is general relativity. And here, Einstein redefines the universe, and he redefines gravity as the curvature in the space-time continuum. And the nexus of that idea, it's interesting we just had the eclipse, because there's an eclipse story here. What Einstein postulates in general relativity is that gravity is actually induced by the presence of massive objects like planets and stars within the space-time continuum. And so you've probably seen these illustrations where we try to show how the space-time continuum works by putting a spherical object within a membrane, and you'll have lines drawn on the membrane, and you see the lines stretch when the ball is dropped on the membrane. And then if you put another object on the edge of the curvature, you'll see it goes around the big ball, the little ball, like the moon goes around the Earth. Because the Earth is sitting in its own gravity well in space-time, and the moon has its own gravity well, which orbits the Earth's gravity space well. So, point being, gravity, space, and time are all part of the fabric of the universe.
We'll get into more of the fabric of the universe and T. Townsend Brown in our next segment. We'll do that with Paul, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update.
We would rather send bullets to the conflict overseas than our own boys, our troops.
On Capitol Hill, the House passing a $95 billion foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The Senate expected to vote on this funding on Tuesday, and then the bill heads to President Biden's desk.
I'm devastated that this could happen.
Severe weather in North Carolina forcing the Trump campaign to cancel a rally Saturday planned in the town of Wilmington. The former president, who was already in the state, late but still several miles away, calling into the rally to ask supporters to move out of the area as a severe storm was moving in.
But we want to keep everybody safe. It's the most important thing.
Opening statement scheduled for Monday in Donald Trump's hush money trial in Manhattan. A jury of 12 and 6 alternates sworn in to serve. Trump telling reporters this is a giant witch hunt. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We get to the fabric of the universe.
Yes.
We're talking about T. Townsend Brown. Paul, continue.
Mm-hmm. Right. So gravity we now define as a curvature in the space-time continuum. And then we get Townsend Brown creating a capacitor-like device using a solid dielectric, which then spawns the speculation that what that device is doing is generating an artificial gravitational field, which means by electrical means we are bending space. And if we are bending space, we are also bending time. Quick sidebar, rhetorical comedy question. You remember the Back to the Future movies? What was the device in the back of the DeLorean that made time travel possible?
The flux capacitor.
The flux capacitor.
All right. I
rest
sure
my case.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So maybe when they wrote the script for the movie Back to the Future, which, by the way, we cover in a book chapter about time travel and pop culture, but we'll get into that another time. Obviously, when they write scripts for these movies, they sometimes use real scientific knowledge or theories as a loose basis for that.
Yeah. Well,
therefore,
yeah.
We need a rebuilt DeLorean to which we affix the flux capacitor, and off we go.
Yep. Now, to continue with this theme, at least for the moment, recall, if you will, the very last scene in the very first Back to the Future movie. Do you remember when Doc Brown, and also notice for a moment that the man's name is Brown. It's not only Brown, but it's Doc Emmett Brown, which is T.T. Brown. And he comes back from the future, and the DeLorean has changed. Do you remember how it's changed?
It's like a flying car.
And what's on the back of it?
Okay. I probably didn't pay much attention to it.
I know, but I'll let you, Paul, you say it.
The much of the plot of the early part of the movie was around needing to get plutonium to drive the flux capacitor up to 1.2 gigawatts or whatever it was. So it was a fission reactor. When he comes back from the future, mounted on the back of the DeLorean is the Mr. Fusion home energy reactor. So he has come back from a future where somehow mankind has perfected and reduced to something that will fit on the back of a car, a home fusion reactor.
The script writers for Back to the Future sounds to me a lot brighter than you'd expect for a simple comedy drama.
Well, they did a lot of homework. There's no question of that. I mean, even by the 1950s, as early as the 1950s, and when the movie was made in the mid-1980s, the idea of fusion as a potential future clean, safe, and abundant energy source was on the surface. It was not an obscure idea. It's not hard to imagine at all that they would have stumbled across that. And it's entirely plausible that Bob Gale and Bob Zemeckis, when they were writing the first Back to the Future movie, they knew of the concept of nuclear fusion, because at that point, scientists had been trying to figure out a way to control a fusion reaction for at least 30 years, which brings us back to the Farnsworth story.
Aha, uh-huh. Strange how these things interconnect.
Because my contention is that fusion, so the wrap on nuclear fusion as a viable source of useful energy is that fusion energy is 20 years in the future and always will be. My contention, based on my experience with the Farnsworth family in the 1970s through the 1990s, is that controlled fusion is 60 years in the past, and we missed it.
Oh? Tell me more.
We'll go back to, it's what have we learned of the 1905 to 15 cosmology? And what did Farnsworth in particular learn because of his firsthand experience on the threshold of that invisible frontier? He started observing things that nobody else saw in the 1930s. And he incorporated those things that he saw in the 1930s into the devices that he was building in the 1950s and 60s. And here is where the Farnsworth story begins to fade behind its own curtain, and we enter a realm of pure scientific speculation, because there is a case to be made that Farnsworth knew exactly what he was doing, that he saw what he needed to see to convince himself that under different circumstances, his device would achieve a break even and produce more energy than it took to produce the reaction. But he took that secret to his grave.
Oh,
there's a story in the book, The Boy Who Invented Television, that I had known Pam Farnsworth for 15 years before she told me the story of the night that they went back to the laboratory. And he ran this thing way past the point where it had ever been run before. And when he shut it down, it kept going. And then the reaction continued without any of the startup power force. So imagine, if you will, how an automobile engine works. What you're trying to do with a fusion reaction is I'll use the example. It's got a 450 horsepower V8 engine and a 2 horsepower engine, the starter motor. So I'm creating an analogy here with how an automobile engine works. So I drive a Mustang with a 450 horsepower V8 engine. That 450 horsepower V8 engine gets kicked in by a 2 horsepower electrical motor. And when the electrical motor has finished starting the big engine, it detaches itself and stops. That's what you're trying to do with fusion. You're trying to get something started that will keep going by itself, and then you can take the power that started it away. Well, Pam described for me a night just like that. In about 1965, in the Farnsworth Laboratory in Fort Wayne, Indiana, he observed something during the day. He wanted to test it that night. They went back to the laboratory alone that night, and he pushes the throttles on the voltage controls up to a level where it pegs the needles. The pen is watching. And then when the needles get pegged, they stay pegged after he pulls the throttles back, which is the equivalent of the starter motor disengaging from the big motor, which is now going on inside. And they watch it for about 30 seconds, and then he starts taking the fuel out of it, and eventually it drains and stops burning. So I have what I consider an apocryphal story of the night that Philo Farnsworth demonstrated to himself that the device that he was building in the 1960s, called the fuser, proved out the theories that he discussed personally with Albert Einstein on the telephone in 1948. When Einstein, who at this point in his life was despondent over how his theories had been used during World War II, and was not continuing research along those lines because of that despondence, when Einstein heard what Farnsworth wanted to do to bottle a star and release the energy in the formula in E equals MC squared in a clean, controlled, safe, and abundantly fueled manner, Einstein said to Farnsworth, "You must continue this work. This is the good part of my theories."
We're going to have more of this in our next segment with Paul, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Pedicast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that. But I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're talking here about Einstein and his conversation with Farnsworth and the advancement of this technology. Where do we go from here?
We go to what I call the question of the missing fourths, and this is how this unfolds. There are four fundamental forces in the universe, and one of the subsets of those four forces are the four ways that nuclear energy is released. So in the four fundamental forces are electromagnetism, what's known as the weak nuclear force, the strong nuclear force, and gravity. Mankind mastered electromagnetism in the 19th century. We pretty well mastered, to a certain extent, the nuclear forces in the 20th century. We still have not mastered the fourth fundamental force, which is gravity. That's the Townsend Brown story. Now, within the strong nuclear force, there are four ways to release energy according to Einstein's equation, E equals mc squared. Two of them are controlled, two of them are explosive, two of them involve fission, splitting atoms, and two of them involve fusion, squeezing atoms together. So far, we have mastered first controlled fission, starting with the Fermi pile in 1940, which you saw in Oppenheimer, then with uncontrolled explosive nuclear fission, Alamogordo, Hiroshima, and beyond. Then we got explosive nuclear fusion, thanks to Edwin Teller and the hydrogen bomb, or what he called the super. So we have mastered four ways of releasing atomic energy. To our knowledge, we have not, which would, as Einstein said, be the most useful, which is controlled nuclear fusion. And that's the Farnsworth story. So you have the two missing fourths and the tantalizing prospect that within these two stories that I have written over the course of my life, we have the answer to the riddle to those two missing fourths.
So then, what's the connection then? There is a connection from your sources about Farnsworth and T. Townsend Brown.
There is. It's a theoretical idea that has kept me going and is one of the reasons why I felt I needed to finish the book even after a 13-year hiatus. The challenge of something like what Townsend Brown proposes is that it needs a free-floating source of extremely high voltages. The effect that we're talking about, this Biefeld-Brown effect, if indeed it produces an artificial gravitational field, it does so when megavolts are applied at extremely low amperages. There's something weird that happens when you get into very high voltages. So let's, for the sake of argument, say we want to build some kind of vessel that has the capability of traveling on these artificial gravity waves. Well, you can't tie it to a wire. You can't tether it to something. that can produce a high voltage. You have to have something that is relatively compact and lightweight in order to put it on the craft. Just the way you have a jet engine, which is a relatively small, compact thing that can fly a plane, or an internal combustion engine can drive a car. You need something of that scale, rather than something like a gigantic nuclear fission reactor, which takes up, you know, city blocks. Well, that's what the Farnsworth fusion reactor was. The fuser was a desktop device. The core of it is no larger than a soccer ball. And it would be easily manufactured down to something about the size of the V8 engine in my Mustang. So that could be the power source for the kind of device that you might be, the vessel that you might be able to build around Townsend Brown's gravity control technology. So that for me is the connection.
Let me ask you a quick question. Were either of these people aware of each other?
No, not to my knowledge.
So we're talking here about two relative contemporaries working separately to do their various things.
I'll tell you one more anecdote.
Okay.
Okay. This is one of these kind of funny little things that you just kind of, it's a shiny object that you just keep staring at and thinking there's got to be something there. When Linda Brown and I met for the first time in 2003 in Las Vegas, and she brought those two Rubbermaid tubs, and we're going through them, but it was amazing to me that I found among the files in those two Rubbermaid tubs a copy of Philo Farnsworth's 1968 fusion patent. And when I asked my covert source, Morgan, about that, Morgan would only say, that was there for you, for me.
Oh?
Now we are definitely in the Paracast now.
It sounds like synchronicity here.
Yeah. So my contention, my overriding contention in all of this is that we are talking about the essential elements of what I like to call the cosmic Ferrari. We have the engine, and we have the power source for the engine, but they won't give us the goddamn keys.
Well, and you can find people building fusers, I'll put quotation marks around it, you know, on like YouTube channels, but I get the feeling that this would be the equivalent of, say, like a real fuser and an elementary school science fair where somebody builds a volcano.
I think you're exactly right about that. Now, are you aware of the website called fusor.net?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
Well, that's my website. I've been hosting that site since 1998. And that is where people learn how to build a nuclear fusion reactor. And probably something on the order of 150 people around the world at this point have built a fusion reactor based on the principles demonstrated in the Farnsworth patents and the Farnsworth fusion reactor, but they have not built a Farnsworth fusion reactor. There's a difference. But they are learning the skill sets that it takes to produce a nuclear fusion reaction. And as impossible as it sounds, these people are producing synthetic stars in a jar in their basements and garages. Now, they're not getting more power out of it than goes into it. So, you know, it's a scale of like 1,000 to 1. You put 1,000 watts into it and you get a watt out. That's not going to produce useful energy. But one of the things I was reminded of when I was going through the material to do the audiobook for the Farnsworth story was that Farnsworth wanted to operate the fuser at much higher potentials than what he could in the facility that ITT gave him in Fort Wayne.
We have to wrap this part up, and we'll continue some of this in the After the Paracast podcast. But for listeners
I hope I've given you enough information to entice people to listen to the Aftercast.
Okay, well, I hope so. They do, too. Paul, if they want to know more about what you do, where can they check you out?
Well, you just look for Shatskin on Amazon.com, ttbrown.com, or farnovision.com are the two websites for the two books.
Okay, T. Townsend Brown. Mr. Farnsworth. We're going to talk also about how T. Townsend Brown was involved with a subject we talked about just a couple of weeks back involving Major Donald Kehoe and NICAP. Yep. Lots of fascinating stuff here, and we will continue with Paul on the After the Paracast Premium Podcast. How about them apples?
Okay.
You can find us on X, which may be Z by the time that continues, Threads, and also Facebook. If you look for the Paracast, we have sections on each. We also offer branded merchandise at the Paracast.store. Four different logos to choose from for T-shirts and all the sizes that even the ones you never heard of. The Paracast.store. Also check out the Paracast.plus for quick sign up to the After the Paracast podcast and this show without the network ads for the Paracast Plus. That's the Paracast Plus. We offer again this show with better audio, no network ads, and the After the Paracast premium podcast where Paul Schatzkins will return and will really get into more of the subjects we didn't have time for now. Again, the Paracast.plus. Quick sign up, lowest rates ever, the Paracast.plus. Paul Schatzkin, you've whet my curiosity and I need to know thousands of things more. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.